This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Joining me now on the First Advantage Hotline, the Mike Sanford. Mike, we got to get you to record one of those rejoins for me, man. I mean, Chris is your guy, and I know you guys go at it on altitude, but we got to get you to get one of those. I don't want you to feel left out.
Well, yeah, and especially with the news of today, altitude and KFKA joining forces. And also, even more than that, man, I'm a true Northern Colorado resident. I'm a Weld County resident, so it's awesome. This is an awesome day of news. I saw you teasing it last night, Brady, and I had no clue, to be honest. So you broke the news to me, even though you know I'm in the altitude studios 2-3-4 times a week, and it was great news to hear. I'm really excited about this partnership moving forward.
Well, and obviously we know the great work that all the folks do on altitude, that no question, yourself included, but there are pockets up here in Northern Colorado where you can't get the signal. You know, it depends on where you are and listening to those games. So this is an opportunity now to get folks covered, obviously in the Denver area, but now up here in Northern Colorado. So we're absolutely pumped, man.
Yeah, and I think there's so much talent, you know, in the altitude broadcast teams for Nuggets and Avs.
Yeah.
Think about Jason Kosminski, his ability to just paint the picture. My guy Connor McGahee, I absolutely love the way he calls an Avs game. I might have said that backwards. Covering the Nuggets.
They're both good. That's number one.
Connor McGahee's like, he's must listen radio. Even if you're not a massive hockey fan, or if you're not necessarily a big Avs fan, just having that on when you're driving, I'm excited too. I mean, there's a lot of times where I'm driving up north, especially now that Bucky's is in Loveland, where my altitude signal gets a little weak. So I'm really looking forward to having KFKA be able to broadcast those games with altitude. And altitude's a great company. You know, I love the people that I work with. Dave Fleck, the CEO, you know, the manager, the big boss there at Altitude, and Kevin Shockey, the program director, just great people. And it's been so fun for me in my entry into the media space from the coaching space to go into a really hot and I'd call it a massively quickly growing broadcast platform in Altitude because of, you know, how good the Avs and the Nuggets are. I mean, they are the story in town. They are the pride of the state of Colorado right now, and it just works out great for me and for KFKA to be able to join forces with those two, I mean, just mega brands in the state of Colorado.
Yeah, well, and again, you've just done a phenomenal job getting in on this, on the media side of things. Obviously, you have such a great background, a great resume, too, of what you've done on the football side of things. But being able to team up with Chris, I mean, Chris is like one of the nicest dudes in the history of the world. But I know you probably can get him going once in a while, man.
Yeah, you know, anytime I bring up, there's two things that I've learned over the last 6-7 months that if I bring them up, it immediately turns into a triggered anger fest between me and Demps. One of them is you bring up Carmelo Anthony and his legacy as a Denver Nugget, and who's on the right side of history. I think that Demps has a very big soft spot in his heart for Carmelo Anthony. So he's always running defense for Melo. And then the other one is Baker Mayfield. For whatever reason.
He's a Baker guy?
He hates Baker.
Oh, he hates
Baker.
And
I love
Baker. All
right. I think that Baker's one of my favorite quarterbacks beyond Patrick Mahomes in terms of just looking at the position, coming from the air raid system. You know, if you want to put him in the Johnny Football, Johnny Manziel category of quarterbacks that have quirky personalities and, you know, in college just kind of did what they wanted with the football, when they wanted, how they wanted. But I actually think that Baker Mayfield's the guy that translates well to the NFL game. And, you know, Demps didn't believe me until he saw that, I think it was a $100 million contract that Baker Mayfield signed him this past offseason. So we've kind of settled the score on that, but I remind him all the time who was on Team Baker Mayfield and who was the big detractor.
Well, Baker's had a really – I think Baker's had actually a pretty cool career. The fact that he comes in hot and heavy, he's the guy, and then obviously it fades in Cleveland. Is he going to be a journeyman for the rest of his career? Oh, he lands at Tampa Bay shortly after Tom Brady is gone. And now look at that situation. I mean, he helped lead that team to the playoffs. So those careers are always fascinating because, Mike, so many times you see quarterbacks, and you know this, where they get in the NFL, and if they're expected to do a lot and they don't, they kind of just end up taking a back seat. Look at Carson Wentz now. He's a backup quarterback to Mahomes. So Baker's story is actually really unique.
It is, and you think about how he came into the National Football League. He came into a cemetery, a graveyard, of a franchise for NFL quarterbacks. That's Cleveland Browns.
Yeah,
and then he had a chance to go play for another graveyard of NFL quarterbacks in the Carolina Panthers. You know, I personally had the opportunity and privilege to coach DeShone Kizer at Notre Dame, and the worst thing happened to him on draft day. He got drafted by the Cleveland Browns, and he's the immediate starter. So it is good to see that a guy like Baker Mayfield didn't get fully ruined by the Cleveland Browns organization, because it seems like it has that effect on so many quarterbacks that aren't 39-year-old males sitting on their couch named Joe Flacco.
Mike Sanford joining us now on our First Advantage Hotline. Mike, I want to kind of bring you through the gauntlet of Colorado sports since we have you, kind of get your thoughts on everything. Obviously, the Nuggets get a nice win. It's like I said to start the show, Mike, I'm not looking for style points anymore, although they had some of them. I don't care if they beat a bad team barely or whatever. I'm just looking for the wins. I'm looking for them to secure a top three spot, maybe a number one spot. But Joker passed up Melo, and I'm sure you and Dempsey will go into that on the points thing. Do you think Joker's got, like, what, 3 years left on his contract? Then there's an option, a player option on his fourth year. Is there enough time, and do you see him re-upping that? Will he pass Alex English on the all-time points list? He's got a ways to go.
Yeah, you know, to your point, Brady, style points, this is the silly season of the NHL and NBA season. From the standpoint of, there's so many weird things happening. You look at the game last night, Nuggets play the Spurs with, you know, Victor Wembanyama, who is trying to finalize his case for what should be an automatic Rookie of the Year performance. And also you have a bunch of G League players playing for some teams that are trying to earn their keep. I mean, you even saw the insane play that was made at the rim with AG. Those kinds of things don't happen with established starters in the NBA. Those are kind of moments that are a little freaky, a little weird, and that's why everybody gets so concerned when you've already clinched a playoff spot about going too hard in the paint, if you will, and playing your starters too many minutes, because there's some really uneven things at the end of this basketball and even hockey season. You know, same thing with the NHL. You look at some of the Avs game, they go and drop an ugly one up in Columbus, and you're sitting there like, man, are the Avs, is this reason for panic? Are we concerned? I think you looked at the same thing. You got a bunch of, a bunch of AHL and ECHL, late season additions to these rosters. And these guys are trying to make a name for themselves in the NHL. And so you have to consider that when you're looking at these end of season games. Biggest thing is health, man. That's the biggest thing. You got to be healthy going in to the postseason. I trust Michael Malone and Jared Bednar to make those decisions, to make sure that you're playing your best hockey and basketball going into the postseason. And then to your second part of the question, Nikola Jokic, I mean, what else can we say about the guy? If he doesn't win the MVP this year, I think it's going to be an absolute disgrace to the NBA. Yeah. It would be because the NBA and the media wants to bring about new stars to the game, and a guy like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander from Oklahoma City. But Nikola Jokic is deserving. He put the exclamation point on a young but already established career with his performance in the NBA Finals. I think that he would prefer being the Finals MVP over the regular season MVP 10 times out of 10. But I do think it does matter to make sure that the NBA awards their absolute best. And I'd say a generational player that's changed the way that the big man is being perceived in the NBA. I think that Nikola Jokic is going to be one of these guys. In my opinion, this is just me reading tea leaves. His personality and his approach reminds me of one of my former players in Andrew Luck, you know, where he loves the game. It comes so easily to him. But I do wonder, is he going to be playing for 10 more years? I don't think so. I think that the magic number on a Nikola Jokic would be probably 3 or 4 NBA championships. And I think everybody in Colorado and the Denver Metroplex would be okay with 3 or 4 championships. And then we'd let him go back to Serbia, get off parade, and get back on his horses.
And you know, I'm with you. It's all going to be a glorious time. I hope there's several championships there. But, Mike, when he retires, I might go in a deep, dark depression. I'll be real honest, man, because I've been a Nuggets fan my whole life. I've never seen a guy like this that I'm because normally I'm a fan of a guy. Typically, I like underdogs. And then I'm like, you can do it. You could prove them all wrong. And it never happens. Joker's everything. He's perfect. And so when he goes, I mean, it's going to be a rough time in my life. I don't know how I'll recover.
The good news is, and I say this, I think Demps brought this up on air one time, is that whenever either one of the, you know, Nikola Jokic or Jamal Murray, you know, moves on, you know, to the retirement stage, or just, you know, sometimes these players get massive deals elsewhere. It does happen. He did say that he believes, and I'm starting to see it coming to fruition, Michael Porter Jr. could be a scoring title candidate in the National Basketball Association. It's almost like he doesn't have maybe the amount and the volume of looks at the basket, because you do have two of the best players in the NBA in Joker and Mall. I think that AG is a phenomenal piece to the puzzle. I think he's the glue that keeps this thing going in the right direction. But I think that the next big thing in Denver will be MPJ. And I think we've been able to see that over the course of the last 6 weeks, really since the All-Star break. He's a walking bucket, and he can do anything. You know, as a shooter, as a penetrator at and around the rim, he had, what do you have, 16 rebounds last night. Michael Porter Jr., his arrow is trending in a very positive direction, and that's good news to all, you know, Nuggets fans that were concerned about that max contract.
Yeah, well, and honestly, that's a great point you make, too. How will Porter play when you remove those guys? You know, will he play in it? Will he be a different guy? Will he take more upon himself to drive more into get into the lane and all? Because, you know, we've seen it. He has the ability to do it. But like you said, that's not this offense. It doesn't lend itself to that. So that's a great point by you, Mike. Who are the Broncos taking at number 12? You're kind of high on Penix, right?
Oh, I'm extremely high on Penix. And I'm not high on Penix because I know the kid. I'm not high on Penix because I'm a Washington fan. Neither of those two are true. I'm on high on Penix because I coached against Michael Penix Jr. while I was the interim head coach at University of Colorado in 2022. In a 4-game stretch that we saw Caleb Williams, Bo Nix, Michael Penix Jr., and then the Utah defense. So you wonder why I didn't get the full-time gig. That might be a little bit, I might have a little something to do with it.
Coach Stein's
a lot cooler than I am and wears a lot cooler sunglasses and has way more street cred than I do. But I would say this, man, when I saw Michael Penix Jr. in person, I've been around the position for a long time. I've been fortunate enough to coach 8 guys that have taken snaps in the NFL on teams that I've coached. And, Michael Penix Jr. was the one quarterback in that 4-game stretch that I felt like I was completely helpless as a coach on the sideline because of his accuracy, the explosiveness, you know, the sneaky athleticism that I think nobody really talks about. And I think that he's going to end up being a great value because there's an over importance placed on the fact that he has an injury history. That's in his rearview mirror. He played 2 full seasons that saw him win Pac-12 championship games and get to, in his last season, a national championship game. You're looking at a 28-game stretch where he has not had an injury. He was a young, developing athlete, underdeveloped when he reported to Indiana University in 2018. He was playing behind the worst offensive line in the Big Ten Conference. And, yeah, there's going to be some stuff when you're a developing athlete and you're trying to make some plays behind a really bad offensive line where you're going to have some injuries. I think that's in his rearview mirror, and I think as a result, Michael Penix Jr. at 12 would be an unbelievable value pick, and some people would argue with that. I think that Bo Nix at 12 would be way too high of a draft position for a Bo Nix because I think he has a ceiling on his talent. I don't think he has that plus arm strength. I saw it at the Combine. I saw it at that Senior Bowl. I was at both events, and it was very noticeable the difference in their arm talent and athleticism between Michael Penix Jr. and Bo Nix.
Mike, on Michael Penix Jr., it's funny how the stock thing goes up and down when we're talking draft, right? I mean, right before the national championship game, I think people were putting Penix right there with Caleb Williams. And then the game happens, and suddenly it's like, oh, yeah, by the way, the guy got hurt sometime. It's like that came out of nowhere. His stock feels like it's going back up again. So the question is he there at 12? Is there a chance that he's not around at 12?
Here's what I've studied this. I've talked on airwaves nationally about this very topic. I think that he's there at 12. I don't think that he's there after 13. And the reason for that is Antonio Pierce, the Las Vegas Raiders, absolutely love the thought of the best downfield throwing quarterback prospect in this draft class launching grenades to a guy like Davante Adams. Okay, so if you're the Denver Broncos and you say, you know what, injury history, it scares me. He might not fit the exactness of what Sean Payton's looking for. Well, you're gonna have to deal with it twice a year, and I think that's a real possibility. And so that's why I think the onus is on the Denver Broncos organization to get the best thrower in this draft class in Michael Penix Jr. and do so with a guy who likes to play in the pocket, which is what Sean Payton wanted after the failed Russell Wilson experiment, at least in 2023. So I do think that he is available at 12, but I think that there is a big risk you run if you trade back to think that he'll be available in the late 20s. I don't think that's a possibility. Even today's news, you saw that Stephon Diggs traded to the Houston Texans. You could look at the Bills being a possible trade back candidate. Maybe a Cortland Sutton comes into play. Maybe your 12 comes into play, and the Broncos can bolster their second and third round draft pick options. But I just think that that would be too big of a risk. I do think Bo Nix will be available at the end of the first round. I think that Bo Nix would be a great value pick in the second, but right now the Broncos don't have a second. So that's going to require trading back if you want to get the Bo Nix discussion.
Hey, I'm not going to argue with the Broncos finally going after a quarterback early in the first round. Mike, my man, up against a break. I appreciate you so much. I think you're just absolutely killing it. And I love all the things you bring as far as your knowledge to all sports, but especially on the football side of things. And we're happy to kind of be connected with you guys as a part of the affiliate radio group with Altitude. It's a great day. It's a fun one. And we appreciate you guys so much, man.
Hey, appreciate you too, and I can't wait to be driving out there in Greeley on the way to the Stampede this summer and listen to some crossover stuff between KFK and Altitude Radio.
I love it, man. Well, right around that time, Nuggets and Avs will be deep into the playoffs too, right around Stampede time. So it's going to be a wonderful situation for everybody. Mike, my man, we'll catch up with you very soon, and we look forward to the next time.
Appreciate you, Brady.
All right, man. You too, Mike Sanford. That's great. Sanford's a stud. Sanford and Sons. He is a good dude. But I like all the points he's making. I didn't get I was going to go Avs, I was going to go Rockies with him, didn't have the time. But he made some great points. Let me talk about those points on the other side. Mike Sanford, excellent dude. Former CU coach, interim CU coach. He's been all over the place. He was recruiting guys. Recruited Christian McCaffrey to Stanford. He worked with Andrew Luck. Absolute monster when it comes to football knowledge. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
Get tuned to Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA for Preps Baseball.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one, member FDIC.